Well, a good Sunday, and welcome. Welcome to Sunday Praise. My name is Bill Craig, and thank you for being with me as we walk through Sunday Praise. I look at some scripture in John chapter 14. It said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And the me, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in my Father's house. There are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And dear friends, we know he's coming again. The good Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. There's coming a day when he will be coming back. He will be ruling this earth, straightening it out. So don't get too pressed when you look at things. When you look at things that are happening around the world and wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all kinds of things happening. People not getting along. People not trying to get along even, don't be troubled. In John 14:1, as I said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come before you. We thank you that we can come before you. We thank you that we can have the privilege of talking about you, sharing the good news about you, dear Lord. We thank you and we ask you that those who are listening would you would lift them up through your word, Lord, through your word. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In Psalm 8, verse 3, it says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained." And I think of the contrast between, well, it certainly looks like ease for him. Well, he's God, making the earth and making the heavens. And think of the hard work he's put into saving sinners, like myself and yourself. Salvation was not simply the work of his fingers. He didn't make robots. To save us, he had said, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair," Isaiah 50, verse 6. "They pierced my hands and my feet, all my bones out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted," Psalm 22, 14 and 16. "My God," and then he said on Matthew 27 on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" His fingers were enough to put the stars in place. He certainly put more than his whole self into saving us. Hang on to that thought, dear friends. J. Hopkins says, "Lord, we worship and adore thee for thy rich, thy matchless grace, perfect soon in joy before thee. We shall see thee face to face." And my dear friends, what a wonderful shepherd we have that shepherds us continually, is with us all the time. He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." I think of this next song by Jim Reeves. He talks about the gentle shepherd right here on Sunday Praise.
My soul is lost, so lonely and so cold, just like a lamb that has strayed from the fold. Across the soul that wandered from the fold. I cry and save my soul. O gentle shepherd, hear my lonely cry, and in thy cool green pastures let me lie beside the still clear waters. Lead thou me, O gentle shepherd, safe forevermore with thee.
Beautiful song by Jim Reeves, starting us off this Sunday on Sunday Praise. And Gentle Shepherd, Gentle Shepherd. And it made me, of course, think of the most popular psalm, I would say, is "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." David pictures the Lord as the great shepherd who protects his sheep. And he provides, totally provides for us. He restores my soul. Salvation is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way, dear friends. Only through him. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And he's our protector, guide, a constant companion. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. Lord Jesus is shepherd of his people. And I flip over to John chapter 10. He tells us, "Truly I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the doors is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." And this figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, as I'm reading from John chapter 10, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Remember in that song, the first song, he said, "The wolves of night come to tear away at the sheep." The wolves at night. Satan wants nothing better than to tear us and send us into hell. He wants to destroy us and our testimony for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And I think of abundant life. And life is nothing without God. That word forever, life forever with God in heaven. That's abundant peace, abundant power, abundant love. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," as I said. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He said in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. And even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold." And of course, he's talking about the Gentiles, us, later on, coming into the fold. "I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Isn't that marvelous? He was thinking of us even then. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. And then he says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me as greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. When you look at our Lord, our Savior, and all he's done for you and I, all he's done for the whole world, how can you not follow him? How can you not say to yourself, I have decided to follow you, Lord Jesus. Wherever you lead me, I will follow. Linda Randall on Sunday Praise, and I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And I think three questions a lot of people have in this world. Where am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Well, they should know where they are, but why am I here and where am I going? And where did I come from? Now, of course, all these questions are answered and found in the Word of God. We are here because of God's sovereign design. We are to live to the praise of His glory. Our eternal destiny is heaven, if you wish. And you and I have the potential of representing God in your corner of the world, wherever you are, dear friend. And being with Him forever can be your lot. You have to trust the Savior, and these questions will be answered to you. Once you trust Him, the Bible becomes an open book. And I think one of the characteristics of fallen human nature is the rejection of what's best. This began all the way back in the Garden of Eden, when Satan tempted Eve to rebel against God and exert her right to determine her own course. Ever since, people have been pursuing their desires based on self-interest. It's understandable that this is the world's mindset. Sadly, though, it is also the attitude of many Christians who attend church but consider serving an encroachment on their time. Such self-centered reasoning is grounded in three misconceptions. We don't understand who God is. He's the divine creator of the universe and the sovereign ruler over heaven and earth. He redeemed us from sin with the precious blood of His Son. In other words, He purchased us from slavery. We were in slavery, in sin. In that way, we become His servants, who serve Him out of love and gratitude. We were created to worship and serve God. This is our destiny, and the way we glorify Him. We don't understand the Lord's great purpose in the world all the time. He is building His kingdom, and we have been commissioned to be involved in the process by ministering to one another, proclaiming the gospel near and far. And it's a divine privilege serving Him. If you can trust God with all your questions, my dear friends, He will answer all of your questions. I read in Matthew 18:11, "For the Son of Man has come to save which was lost." Then I look at Luke chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. It says, "After that He went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth, and He said to him, 'Follow me, follow me.'" Have you decided to follow Jesus, dear friend? He left everything behind and got up and began to follow Him. No questions asked, right there and then. He got up and said, he knew He was God, and He followed Him. I look at some scripture from John chapter 6, verse 35 said, "Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst.'" Verse 37, He says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." Thank God for that verse. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me will not certainly cast out. We've got both election and free will in that verse, and also security. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." And I go back to John chapter 5, verse 24. "Truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me," of course that's the Father, "has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life." Can you think of anybody else you want to follow? No, I don't think so. Dear friends, we always want to follow Him. We always want Him to go ahead of us as well. Thank you. I agree with that song 110%. Go ahead, Lord. I will follow. Show me the way, and I will follow. You lead the way. Tells us very clearly in the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3. I love those verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Go ahead, Lord. I will follow. I will follow. And dear friends, you're listening to Sunday Praise. My name is Bill Craig. And I thank you for being with me. And if you maybe want to catch up on the program or listen to some other programs, there's about a year's program on sundaypraise.ca. Sundaypraise.ca, and you'll find a bunch of programs there, and they're there for you. I don't ask for money, so don't worry about that. I never ask for money. I don't do this for money. Dear friends, I do it because I love you, and I know that Jesus Christ is the way. And once you follow Him, you'll realize that. And if you want to communicate with me, you can go to Sundaypraise at AOL.com. Sundaypraise at AOL.com. And I look at a topic that is a tough one. I don't like talking about it because it people don't want to hear about it. They want it to, if they don't talk about it, they figure it'll go away. A lot of people don't believe in hell. But hell is eternal. They say, it's incredible that a compassionate God would punish men forever. And then they say, well, surely he will open the prison doors someday. And this also is a mighty help to the devil's cause. Take your ease, he whispers to sinners. If you do make a mistake, never mind, it's not forever. Well, dear friends, that word forever is an awesome word. There is a hell, and people are going there. It was designed for the devils and his angels, his fallen angels. I think of people that say, oh, I hope to get to heaven. Well, you don't have to hope, my dear friends. You can know. You can know by taking Jesus Christ as your Savior. A little girl was in a graveyard, and she asked her mom. She was very observant. She said, where are all the wicked people buried? Because she found no mention on the gravestones of she only saw the good. Very observant of that little girl. A lot of people spend large amounts on tombstones. Large amounts of money on tombstones, and you would say they were definitely Christians, and a lot of them are, praise God. But I believe some of them aren't. I know very well that some believe there is a hell, but never like to speak about it. It is a subject that should always be kept back in their opinion. They see no profit in bringing it forward, and are rather shocked when it is mentioned. It's also an immense help to the devil. He says, hush, hush, say nothing about hell. The wolf would like the shepherd to sleep while he prowls around the fold. The devil rejoices when Christians are silent about hell. And just Jim Reeves saying in that first song, the wolves of hell are prowling around. I think all these notions, they're the opinions of men. What is it to you and me that man thinks about, what he thinks about religion? Man's not going to judge us, dear friends, at the last. Man's fancies and traditions are delusions. They're not our guide in this life. There's only one point to be settled. What says the Word of God? Do you believe the Bible, dear friend? Then depend on it. Hell is real and true. It is as true as heaven, as true as justification by faith, and as true as the fact that Christ Jesus died upon the cross. It's as true as the Dead Sea. There's not a fact or doctrine which you'll not lawfully doubt, but if you doubt hell, disbelieve hell, and you unsettle and unpin everything in your scripture, you may well throw your Bible aside at once, and then all of a sudden, it's a small step, series of steps from no hell to no God. There's no God, you'll believe. You can depend on your Bible, my friend. The wicked shall certainly be turned into hell, and all the people that forget God, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. The same blessed Savior who now sits on the throne of grace will one day sit on a throne of judgment. Yes, one day he'll be on that throne of judgment. Do you believe the Bible, dear friend? I hope you do. I pray you do. Depend on it. Hell will be intense. How terrible the woe would be. How vain it is to talk about things being only a figure of speech. I think of hell in the scriptures. The pit, the prison, the worm, the fire, the thirst, the blackness, the darkness, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth, the second death. All these may be figures of speech, if you please, but Bible figures mean something beyond all question. And here they mean something which man's mind can not really fully conceive. The miseries of mind and conscience are far worse than those of the body, because you'll be in hell and you'll have a memory. It'll be very clear. And the one you denied, the one who made you, the one you denied, will be there to judge you. Not in hell, but he'll put you there. Have you ever felt the burden of your sins? They're quite a load, aren't they? It's hard to carry them, isn't it? Very hard. Our strength is really not unable to support our sins. As David said, he says, my flesh wasted away. Your hand was too heavy on me all day long. That's our sins, the weight of them. And with the weight of them, we can finally sink into perdition if we want. Think of when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He will give us rest for our souls. But I think of the Bible. It says hell is forever, unquenchable, never dying. All these expressions are used about hell. They can't be explained away. It is eternal. It must be. If hell has an end, heaven has an end too, which it doesn't. And think about it. The gospel is undermined if man may escape hell at length without faith in Christ or sanctification of the Spirit, sin and no longer an infinite evil. And there's no such need. Men will tell you there was no such need for Christ making our atonement on the cross. And where is there warrant for saying that hell can ever change a heart or make it fit for heaven? No, it doesn't say anywhere. It must be eternal, or hell would cease to be hell altogether. Give a man hope and he will bear anything. Yes. And an old Christian said, forever is the most solemn word in the Bible. That day which has no tomorrow, that day when men will seek death and not find it, and desire to die and shall flee from them. Who shall dwell with devouring fire? Ooh, I can hardly talk about it without tears. My friend, if you believe your Bible, depend upon it. Hell is a subject that can't be kept back. I think of the many texts about hell. Call it bad taste if you like to speak of hell. Call it charity to make things pleasant and speak smoothly and soothe men with a constant lullaby of peace. My notion of love and charity is to warn men of the dangers about hell, as I read an excerpt from J.C. Ryle about hell. And I just want to read a little bit of scripture. And I start at verse 43 in chapter 9 of Mark. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to having two hands and go into the hell, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have you salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another? Salted with fire, just as salt preserves everyone who enters hell, will be preserved through an eternity of torment. Have salt in yourselves. Christ's followers are to be permeated with this preserving power which influences the world for good. Oh, dear friends, you know the beautiful thing about the scriptures and the horrible thing about hell? But it's there. It's the truth. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. Jesus Christ suffered a hell on the cross, so you don't have to go there. I'm not saying he went into hell. I'm not saying that. I don't think he had to go into hell. But he suffered a hell of sorts on the cross. So you don't have to go there, my friends. You don't have to go there. There comes a day when you'll want to surrender to Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear friends, this is that day. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give.
and I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. And I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior holy thine. Please let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly knowing thou art mine. And only Jesus is the answer. Lord, I give myself.
A familiar voice to all of us. Beautiful voice, really, Glenn Campbell. And I Surrender All. I Surrender All. And that was written by Judson Van Deventer. And he lived from 1855 to 1939. And Jesus says in Matthew 10:38 and 39, anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 10:38 and 39. And the Bible teaches us about brokenness, doesn't it? It's a prerequisite to blessing and usefulness. We have to be broken. If there's too much of us in there, we can't surrender. We can't serve Jesus, and we can't serve others as well. We have to be fully surrendered to God. Victorious living only comes when we abandon ourselves to the Lordship of Christ, becoming his loving bondservant. And God's best for our lives is not the result of struggle. It's simply the acceptance of his perfect will and the recognition of his authority in every area of our lives. Higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered. Grant me now my supplication, none of self and all of thee. And I think of this man that wrote this. He struggled, as we all do. We all struggle, friends. I know that, and I realize that. That's why I love to encourage you. That's why today's program has been so difficult. I had to talk about hell. But that's the truth, and I love you, and I care for you. That's why I talked about hell, because hell is real. And this man here, he had struggled between his talents of doing art and going on and doing full-time work for the Lord. And as the pivotal hour came, he said, I surrendered all. And he said, a brand new day was ushered in. And I discovered deep down that things that were unknown to me, God had hidden a song in my heart, and touching a tender chord, he caused me to sing. And after making his decision to devote his life to Christian service, he ministered with much blessing. He was with Billy Graham at times, and he had a lot of influence in different lives in the ministry. He says, "All to Jesus I surrender," he wrote. "All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live." There's the key. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me now, Jesus, take me now. It's so beautiful to be surrendered. Oh, it's a seems like a lifelong process, surrendering all. But don't give up, friends. Never give up. Never give up. And continue to surrender. And I look at a couple of thoughts Charles Stanley had. And he said, "Have you ever come to the Lord in repentance, confessing your wrongdoing, and yet you still feel guilty?" The problem is sometimes we can't forgive ourselves. Therefore, then we go into self-punishing mode. You've been there, I know you have. I know you have, so have I. And we punish ourselves repeatedly. We replay the sin until we feel unworthy, not only of the pardon, but also of his blessings. And also his answers to prayer and the Father's love. Eventually, we build a prison of guilt because our offense seems unforgivable. But what does such behavior tell us about our faith in God and our estimation of ourselves? According to the Bible, our Father freely bestows forgiveness on the basis of his Son's payment and sin debt. He has removed our transgression as far as the east is from the west. That's in Psalm 103. Is our refusal to forgive ourselves a way of saying we consider Christ's sacrifice insufficient? Uh-oh, you don't want that, do you? In other words, is our standard of righteousness higher than the Lord's? Oh, Charles Stanley has a way of putting things, doesn't he? A wonderful way of giving us a wake-up call. Think of two men in Scripture. Teach us about the importance of accepting God's full forgiveness. One is Peter, who denied knowing Christ. And he had been with him for 3 years. He denied knowing him. And the other is Paul, who persecuted Christians. The Bible gives no evidence that either one of them refused to forgive himself. There's nowhere in the Bible evidence of that. Their offenses were great, yes. Both men regretted their actions. I often think of Peter. He went out and wept bitterly. But they were forgiven. They received God's forgiveness, which you should do, dear friend, and live in the freedom, be set free, live in his grace. Be free from that unforgiving spirit towards ourselves. And you got to realize, friends, when we won't forgive ourselves, it's a result of focusing on self. Self, that's right. Looking too much at self. We've been relying on our own feelings and making them superior to God's word. We have to humble ourselves, place our trust in God, not in our feelings. We have to be obedient to him, to our Heavenly Father. We all stray now and again. And Jesus told a story about a shepherd who went in search of lost sheep. That, my friends, is in Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one, and does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which was lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you," this is a beautiful verse, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." What a wonderful, it's in the Bible, yes, Luke chapter 15, read it. Read the whole chapter. Wonderful. Many lessons in there can be applied to us as well. But, my friends, we are held securely in the Father's hand. We will never lose our salvation, and we'll never drift. We can drift away in obedience to him, but God doesn't drift away. If you find yourself away from God, well, he didn't move, my friends. You might have moved for a while. But I look at John chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish," and that no one will snatch them out of my hand, whether in death or life. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. I was just thinking, I was at a funeral party the other day and at a wake, and the man loved the Lord Jesus, and he had such a perfect picture of peace, even after death. Yes, after death as well. Nobody can snatch us out of his hands. I think of a sheep sometimes. They easily can meander toward a more appealing patch of grass and end up far afield. That ever happened to you? In the same way, we might see a path that seems to lead to better opportunities, but as we follow it, we grow further and further from the Lord. And then we might notice the distance between us and our Savior. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in trouble. We know our choice is wrong, but we rationalize the decision or blame someone else for misleading us. Regardless of how we end up outside of God's will, we are responsible for the action that put us there. Oh, and maybe another opportunity might look good. But the only place we find true contentment is in trusting and being obedient to that relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must keep our eyes on Jesus and guard against anything except doing His will. His will, as Glenn Campbell sang there, I surrender. I surrender all. And I want to read a short couple of verses, and then we'll move on to another song. But I think of something here written by Drew Craig. Well, no relation to me. Maybe a brother in the Lord, yes. I read in Luke 18, verse 13, the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The gospel is not what human nature would expect. It would be more pleasing to bless the virtuous than the sinner, and to reward good people instead of wrongdoers. But the Bible teaches that there is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. And so you, I, and all of us, we're all in need of the gospel. Thank God there's mercy reserved for all who accept Christ as Savior. For all, yes. Romans 10 and 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. I love this next song. Jesus, I come. I come to you.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and delight, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows, into thy balm, out of life's storms, and into thy calm, out of distress to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into the joy and light of thy throne, Jesus, I come to thee. of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold. Jesus, I come to thee, ever thy glorious face to behold. Jesus, I come to thee.
That's Paul Weeder on Sunday Praise, and I love that song. He's, Jesus, I come to thee, out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair into raptures above. Oh, Jesus, I come. And I think of, dear friends, our Lord understands our human frailty. And even before we do wrong, he knows the poisonous harvest we will reap from sin. When we go out and do something foolish, we're suffering. A loving Heavenly Father, he doesn't abandon his children at their hour of great need. His Spirit wades in, into the mess we have made. He offers to guide us. And that's what we're talking about a lot today. And go ahead of us, surrendering, and our gentle shepherd. And we've decided to follow Jesus. And then Jesus, we come to him. And sinning against the Lord, he soothes our broken heart with his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, and provides reassurance that he is always close by, and he'll take us back into the fold again. But sinning against the Lord makes us feel unworthy of his care and solace. Yet God's forgiveness is based on his great mercy rather than our conduct. If it was on our conduct, we'd be in trouble. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life to save you from your sins, and he'll love and comfort you no matter what. But as he told the woman that was caught in sin, he's, go and sin no more. And the only one that can keep us to walk the road, walk in the Spirit, and control our evil nature is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ. So dear friends, if you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling with walking away from the Lord, turn around and run to him.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that you call me to come. O Lamb of God, to you I run. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, to you I run. Who am I that you would die for one lost soul? You gave your life on Calvary, God's perfect Lamb. To you I run, just as I am. Just as I am, wretched blind, sight riches healing of my mind, when all I need in you I find. O Lamb of God, as I am, 'cause you promised. Lord, I believe. Oh, Lamb of God, to you I run. Who am I that you would die for one lost soul? You gave your life on Calvary, God's perfect Lamb. To you I run, just as I am. Perfect Lamb, to you I run, just as I am.
Russell Dean, singing about God's perfect Lamb. To you I run, just as I am. God's perfect Lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world when we come to Him, dear friends. And my name is Bill Craig. Thank you for being with me. Appreciate it very much. But dear friends, as you go through the week, give somebody hope. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no, there's no other way to get to heaven but through Him. God bless you, dear friends. I love you. And Lord willing, we'll see you again next Sunday.